This is a production of Cornell University.
Welcome to the very last GPSA meeting of the year, April 22nd, it's a little after 5:30. And we have a busy agenda tonight, so I'm going to move through things pretty quickly, keep us on track, like I normally don't do. Mia, you're here? Great, thanks. Trevaney is not here. Phil? Awesome, thanks. Eric is planting onions, I think, or something like that. Giovanna? Great, thanks. Jonathan Hill? You here, John Hill? Nope, okay. Liz?
Here.
Great, thanks. I'm here. Nicole's here. Alex Moore? Oh, wait, he was not coming. Never mind. Jenny?
Here.
Great, thanks. Matt Holden? He also said he wasn't coming. Rob Moore?
Here.
Great, thanks. Eric Rager? All right. David Bunk?
Here.
Great. Christine? Awesome. Han? Awesome, thanks. Drew? Great, thanks. And Monet?
Yes.
Fantastic, thank you. So I'm going to now turn it over to Janet McHugh, who is the Associate University Librarian for Teaching, Research, Outreach, and Learning Services. You have a lot on your plate, so feel free to take it away.
Yes, thank you. And thanks, everyone. This has given me, for giving me and the team 5 minutes and a very busy agenda. So we thought we'd come up with 5 things to engage you with tonight, and hope that we have maybe 1 minute at least to ask you the feedback on some of these things. First of all, an apology. Ann Kenny is the university librarian, and she's out of the country right now, but she would love to have been here, so she's asking what she did. But I wanted to give a couple updates on some things you'll notice happening in the library when you come back in the fall. First, a panoramic view of the new graduate student reading room, which will be in Olin. We moved all of the staff off of the fifth floor and converted those spaces into some really nice graduate reading rooms. As you can see from this picture, the furnishing just came in last week. But there's comfortable seating, there's work tables, there's more electrical outlets than any room in the entire Olin library. It'll be keypad access, so we're going to deliver that code to departments, and departments will distribute it to graduate students, so it will be available to graduate students, or if faculty member says that an undergraduate needs some materials in this room, they would give access, but only under strict faculty control. There'll be some lockers, and in the back room, there's a nice area where printers and scanners and computers. So we really hope you like it. I'm hoping that we can have a little open house before the semester starts. Maybe a little sherry. The next thing I wanted to mention is that there will be a new discovery system that will be rolling out in the fall. We've had, lots of a litany of laments about the current online catalog system, both the Flash catalog and the more recent WorldCat local that we'd like to even them including us. So we're hoping that this new Blackface interface is going to allow us to accept both of those worlds and get rid of the worst of both of those worlds. It's being used by Stanford, it's also being used by Columbia, and a host of other institutions that have gotten to the community, so we're hoping that that will as well. Can you hear me in the back of the room? Yeah? The other thing I wanted to mention is the GPSA report. Mitch sent me a copy of that. And, I noticed several things in there that related to things in your recommendations, but I thought that the library could be of help in achieving some of those recommendations. So I'd like to just put it out there that you can think about it as your partner, particularly when you're looking at things related to creating community across disciplines or across colleges. I mean, that's certainly one of the values that we have in the library. And we sponsor half of the book talk, which is the reason why we couldn't sponsor graduate students' TED-style talks. You also mentioned Vero, and that's something that was developed strong goal of trying to enhance it so that all faculty expertise is reflected in that, as well as the ability to highlight research that's happening across campus. The other thing you mentioned is we're going to develop more programs related to studying research skills. And I thought that might be a good opportunity for Virginia to talk a little bit about a pilot program that we initiated this past year with a graduate student in government. Virginia, you want to give your talk?
So I'm Virginia Cole, I'm from Olin Library, and I developed the immersion program for community graduate students. You'll hear more about that in the fall. And I also teach and develop workshops for graduate students. And the pilot program, I actually have a little handout that I'll pass around. The pilot program that we're interested in developing is to work with graduate students in their department to produce a program, perhaps in the course of a series of programs that you've already used your department to do for each other, on information management and workflow, tools, software, practices, and myself and my colleague Jim Morris-Dillis from the library are sort of citation management experts, and we have a great information management, so we'd be very interested in partnering with departments. So we'll come to your department and collaborate to develop some kind of program that would suit your needs. So I'm going to pass it around. Jim's email is on the bottom of this. And we have a question for you. Are there any questions for either Jim or I?
So I know that a lot of these student professional schools have their own libraries, and you talk about rather hard access and professional students be allowed to do that as well.
Yep, I think it should be open to all graduate students, no matter what your discipline. And you know, I think that's one of the values again in the library, that we try and make things successful. And you know, what we'll have to do is develop those, see what impact that might have. You might have to take a bit of the staff on the second floor where I am and convert more rooms. But I mean, we're going to try and make it as accessible as possible.
So I think we probably have time for one more question. And if there are any others, if you want to email me those questions, then I can pass them on.
I just want to add one other thing about what Virginia said. We worked with a grad student named LP, who she actually pulled a group of grad students in her department to create a panel on how they were doing their information management. So we had a whole range of different students, what kinds of techniques they were using. They were sharing it among, among the grad student department groups. But then you had a couple of librarians who also chimed in when questions were asked or when some other areas of expertise that they had been using. It's really nice because it was, you know, a peer-to-peer kind of process, and that's really one of the things we're looking at.
Okay, there's one question behind you. Giovanna? Yeah.
Are there plans to expand this new college library, for example, Mann Library?
Well, Mann is from the third floor for grad students, and, you know, hopefully that's, you know, I think that's one of the things that we're hoping works well for that.
Well, maybe that's a policy problem that we need to ask.
I'll talk with Mary Rose about that.
The idea was, at least on the third floor, that would be graduate students studying this, and we should be able to get a chair or a locker and have it be around the community.
Well, great. Thank you, Janet. Thank you, Virginia. If there are any other questions, send them to me and I'll pass them along. So thanks for coming. Great. And next up, I'm going to turn over to Alan Mittman. He's the director of the Office of Workforce Policy and Labor Relations and also the employee elected trustee, correct?
That's true.
There you go.
I'm wearing Benny Hack. I'm here with my colleague, Anita Brennan. We're Title IX deputy coordinators. We're part of the team that enforces Title IX policy at Cornell. What we're here to talk about today is an action that this body approved about a year ago. I was here, and the president subsequently blessed it. We have been involved in a process to move the way cases against students, including graduate students, are adjudicated when there's a claim of sexual harassment, sexual violence, or sexual assault. And previously, those claims were brought under the Campus Code of Conduct, pursuant to the policy there, which is sort of a quasi-judicial policy. Last April, as approved by the President, it was determined to move that process under what's called Policy 6.4, a policy that my office administers, which is an administrative review process for the same types of claims or any claims of protected status, discrimination, or harassment brought against faculty and staff. The new part is that claims against students will now be adjudicated under that policy. So, we move ahead on the slide. Thank you. Keep going for time, please. So, very brief background. Cornell has had a sexual harassment policy since 1996. In 2011, some of you may be familiar with the Dear Colleague letter that the Office of Education promulgated that told colleges and universities how the government viewed certain practices at colleges and universities relating to sexual harassment and discrimination adjudication. Cornell made some interim changes to the Code of Conduct in response to that, and we have spent the last year, this body approved in Resolution 7, moving the policy to adjudicate such claims into 6.4, redrafting 6.4, and seeking input from various constituencies and sort of mini groups. So we're here today to describe to you how that new policy is planned to work. Next slide, please. The easy way to remember it is IRA. There's an investigative stage, there's a review stage, and there's an appeal stage. Important to note, at any stage, an agreement is possible between the parties. That's always possible. And equally important to know that both parties have an opportunity to be heard at every step, at the investigation stage, at the review stage, and at the appeal stage. So, next slide, please. The investigation stage. Who conducts the investigation? Well, we'll focus on students. My office conducts investigation of claims brought against faculty and staff. The Office of the Judicial Administrator, who now conducts those investigations under the code, will conduct those investigations brought against students, claims such claims against students, under the process under Policy 6.4. So it's the same office, but acting under a different process, which I'll mention more about in a minute. Once the investigation, next slide please, is concluded, the findings are reported to a reviewer, somebody will call him the reviewer. The reviewer for claims brought against student respondents will be a trained faculty member and most generally from the former hearing or review board. Those of you familiar with the Code of Conduct know that there's a review board and an appeal board who sit on those claims. Well, we're going to be asking people who are formally on those panels, who've been trained in adjudicating claims against students, in hearing the claims and dispensing appropriate discipline where needed, to staff this review panel. Those reports after investigation, again, there'll be time and opportunity from both the party making the complaint and the respondent to comment on the report after a very full investigation is heard, looking at documents, interviewing witnesses, hearing all sides of the story. And once that's compiled into a report, again, there'll be an opportunity for comment and review before it goes to this reviewing person. Next slide. After the review, there's an opportunity for either the complainant or the respondent to take an appeal. The complainant appeals will go to the Vice President of Student and Academic Services. Again, that will be an opportunity to say what the complainant believes was inaccurate or wrong about the reviewer. They can either go to the merit of the determination, that is, whether or not the conduct violates the policy, and or the level of discipline that is imposed if there is a violation. So the complainant can bring an appeal for a new feature in this policy, and it's required under the Dear Colleague letter that I mentioned before. Similarly, if you're the respondent, if you're the accused party, you can appeal the outcome to the same office, the Vice President of Students and Academic Services. Next slide. So what have we done today? What decisions have been made? As I mentioned, this body approved moving the process to adjudicate these claims from the Campus Code of Conduct into Policy 6.4 last April. The President approved it, so that's the first bullet point. The second decision that was made in concert with the Dear Colleague letter was to move the standard of proof, the burden of proof, from clear and convincing evidence, the sort of standard, to more likely than not, a preponderance of the evidence. That's required by the Dear Colleague letter. It's a standard level of evidence that parties bring in civil cases. The government brings that same burden into its Title IX cases if it were to bring a claim against the university. It's a standard that is also used in Title VII cases for claims of discrimination based on race and other factors. So the Title IX, which prohibits discrimination based on sex, has the same standard, and that's the standard that we use under 6.4. We've always used that standard, but it's now the standard also for claims against students for sexual harassment, violence, and assault. And we also provide equivalent avenues of appeal, as I mentioned before, both for the complaining party and the responding party. And finally, those of you who are familiar with policy, there's a policy 6.3, it's a sexual assault policy. It basically describes resources and tells people what they might consider doing if they think they have been sexually assaulted, and refers them to other policy in order to take action. So rather than have just a sort of informational policy, we also have blended for the President's acceptance of your resolution. We're incorporating 6.3 sexual assault into the 6.4 policy, so it's all in one place. So that's what we've done. We're now in the stakeholder process. We're meeting with assemblies. We're meeting with various groups around campus. We want the opportunity to meet with students, of course, before they hear after slow day, so we're very pleased to have gotten some time tonight to talk about it. And I'm available for the rest of our time to entertain any questions or comments that I would appreciate. Also, emailing Mitch with anything. I also have my card as an attorney, not a practicing attorney. I cannot leave a room without giving out my business card. although business comes to me, I don't have to find it anymore for you. I might be wondering about that. But so I have leaving my card, and there's a little information sheet about how to get resources if one wants to know or needs to know about claims that need to be filed. So a little information and my card. We will be posting on a brand new website called the SHARE website, S-H-A-R-E, the draft of this proposal. It should be going up sometime this week. I'll email Mitch. You'll still be in office then? I'll email Mitch, and he can make it available to all of you where you can see the policy online. It's just about ready for prime time review, and it should be posted this week. Yes, Ed.
So I've been involved with the changes around policy 6.4 since I was a member of the UA a few years ago, a member of the CJP and the UA last year, GPSA, throughout this year as well. I think that I want to commend you, Alan, Anita, the whole Title IX group that's worked on this. I think you've put together a wonderful policy to deal with a very difficult issue. I think the new policy 6.4 is much clearer, more straightforward. I think it's fair and equitable for
very much for your hard work on it. I do recall you peppering me with questions in this room, as you are wont to do, a year ago from a chair over there, and I was up there.
Right.
So I survived that question.
I think Todd had a question up here.
So thank you guys for coming here. I noticed in your review of the IRA's workflow that you take very careful steps to make sure that each different stage has sort of different eyes looking at the process. That for yourself, no, there are lots of titles that are not sort of monotonically distributed. There are people with more than one role, right, so you have more than one title, and there you're not the only person on campus like that. So I wonder if there are any steps in place to make sure that the sort of next step in the process doesn't end up being seen by the same eyes under a different title, or if there are sort of a backup person if there does happen to be that identity.
Yeah, no, that's a fair observation. The answer is that at the first review, the reviewer will be somebody who is neutral to the process. So the reviewer will not be reviewing, for example, their own determination or their own work on a matter. Certainly, if they were accused, they would certainly not be sitting on it. There are alternate rooms for that. But the process is set up so that the reviewer will have a neutral look at the case. Similarly, when the appeal party, drawn from that faculty that was chosen, that person has to also be neutral. Would not be somebody who has any relationship with the parties and certainly wasn't involved in the underlying dispute. So there should not be any concern about that. Even at my level, the investigator or very best grant JA level for these claims, if there was some reason to refuse her from the investigation, that would happen. I have done an investigation for her, but for some reason her office felt it would be best not to do it. So we have alternate people available. The great thing about Cornell is there's always somebody available to step in. So I assure you that.
Yeah.
So, for those of us who are teaching and are on the table, are we treated as staff or students?
Okay, so there is provision in 6.4 that covers teaching assistants and research assistants. So let's just deal with that group for a moment. That group, many of whom I'm sure are in the audience here, have always been and will continue to be dealt with as faculty. There's a separate procedure in 6.4 for faculty, including, I suppose your point of it, a wonderful provision that I take no credit for, but that the power that be included in 1996 to include a faculty co-investigator. So they will aid the investigator with that faculty, that knowledge of what goes on. It will be a neutral party, won't know the individual. So if you're acting in your RA or TA role, that's how you will be processed through the faculty process. If you're acting in any other role, students are going to be treated as students. So an undergraduate student who works in that fine old library, which is a real fave of mine, who happens to be working there 5-6 hours a week, who has an interaction that comes under this, will be treated as a student. We made the judgment that people, students, faculty, staff, should be afforded the process that fits their main role. And certainly a student who's spending 5 hours in Olin a week should have their student role predominate if their question, if their activities come into question. And so that's the way that that will be handled. RATA one way, every other student status, the Mary Beth Grant JA way.
I think we probably have time for one more question, and then I can forward the rest of them on to Alan in my ongoing status in my lame duck presidency stage after this meeting. Any other questions? Great, thanks so much for coming. Appreciate it. You can also send things here, I believe. Right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. We have this is just, oh, thank you, Rich. Yes, just actually today or tomorrow morning, Title IX at Cornell.edu. Feel free to send us comments there. Thanks.
Great, thank you. All right. So moving forward, we'll move on to the approval of the minutes from April 8th. I believe you all, were they sent out? Or?
I sent them this morning.
Okay, they were sent this morning. Apologize for the late notice on them, but are there any amendments to the minutes? Great. Seeing none, is there any opposition to approving the minutes? Fantastic. The minutes are approved. Thanks. We'll move into reports of officers and standing committees here before we go into new business. Just a quick thing from my end. Thanks for a great year. It's been great. We got a lot accomplished. These are the printed versions of the GPCI, if anyone's interested in taking a look. Thanks, Evan, for his computer skills.
They're really pretty.
Yeah, they are really nice. I know that Evan last year sent or introduced his annual report to the committee or to the assembly at this meeting. I did not, so I will get that to you all. And exactly. I'll get that all to you here in the next couple weeks. And another quick thing. We'll present the GPCI to the Board of Trustees in a more a lengthier session, if you will, on May 24th, which is the last board meeting of the year, at the Student Life Committee meeting. I presented it just very briefly, essentially that we had done it at the meeting in March, and we'll get a chance to engage the trustees at the May 24th meeting. So also come to the reception afterwards. It's going to be good food and drinks, I think. Nicole, did you have anything else for Executive Committee? All right. Bill, do you have anything for appropriations?
The file running process is well underway, and on Thursday at 4 o'clock, the initial loan applications for all file funding groups are due. So if you know anyone that are on those type of groups, make sure they're getting their stuff done and turned in so they can be eligible for funding the next cycle.
Great. Thanks, Bill. Marcus didn't have anything for communications. Vinay, do you have anything for finance commission?
Yes, you do. The first deadline for the annual budget is this Friday at 4 p.m., April 26th. I would encourage you to get your funding applications in before 4 p.m. on Friday. And the website that you can apply online, actually I'm on the slide there. If you have any questions, certainly feel free to email me. That's also the deadline for the summer funding application. So if you have any need for summer funding for your organization, the deadline is April 26th at 4 p.m. Yes, there are two separate applications. The summer application is exactly like the SPR application, the paper application. But the deadline is.
Great, thanks, Nate. Giovanna, do you have anything?
So, the grad college this Saturday. Please help me announce this to your field because with the mixer was really good, but I heard a lot of people complaining because they were not aware of it. And we rely a lot on field representatives to send out the information, so please help us with that. The grandma is going to be amazing, the decorations are going to be really good. We have been doing a lot of things for it, so please buy your tickets, please go, invite people to go and spread the word.
So it's on Saturday at 9 p.m. in Willard's Trade. You buy the ticket in the Alton email, so everybody, but if it's a Cornell ticket,
you go on Cornell tickets and you go on the student
group, and there you can
find
Grad
Ball
2013.
Great, thanks, Giovanna. Evgeny, do you have anything?
Okay,
great. Farag?
I know you have
something.
We're there.
So, we have finally sufficient for the time to work. History of our committee, which was basically formed from Resolution 7 and now, 15th November 2011. We talked about resolution last year in the fall, and it was independent from the union that we're in the presence of chair now. Next slide, please. There are committees at this point, I can say Nicole, Evan, myself, Mitch, and Adrian. Next slide. And this was what we did this year, which was March 8th, we started the nomination process for monthly nominations, 30 professors, 91 nominations, 150 pages of nominations. We went to work for 2 days and almost two minutes, which was the sad part. We almost were going to double the number of women that we decided not to make it harder for where we're doing next year. So only 2 minutes, and more than 2 minutes. Eric Beck from the Department of History, Andrew Bath from Neurobiology and Behavior, and Lee Humphrey from the Department of Communications. So if you're part of any of those departments, we congratulate you because you have an amazing success. I did not give you the names of everybody who was nominated, so that would come to the whole. So that's that for the 2003 Turkey Awards. Next slide, please. We're going to congratulate them. It's going to be just in case only, so that food that you're going to order is not for everybody.
Great, thanks, Prague. Prague did a great job this year for sure. Great, thanks. Moving into new business, we'll start with Resolution 18, which I guess I will go ahead and introduce. So Resolution 18 is essentially the summation of a bunch of conversations that the Executive Committee had with various people in the administration on kind of dealing with the whole integration of Cornell New York City Tech students, which are all graduate students, into, you know, the shared governance system. And there was a bit of concern about them being charged the graduate and professional student activity fee, because a lot of it, Cornell Cinema, everything in there, essentially, besides GPSA and the club insurance, didn't really apply to them because they weren't on campus. And so we had a significant meeting with a bunch of different parties from the Dean of Students Office, the graduate school, the Cornell Tech administration, and essentially came up with this solution that the administration was comfortable with. And essentially this is really just a temporary solution while we continue this to discuss this, continue to see how involved the Cornell Tech students are in the shared governance system and in sort of campus activities. And really came down to this solution, which is to essentially peg the GPSAF for the Cornell Tech students at the same rate. So if we were assessing the same one that we have now, it'd be $81. And essentially they would have, of that $81, they would contribute the portion that goes to club insurance and to the GPSA into the traditional system. And then the remainder of their fee. So for instance, in this, it would be somewhere in the nature of $74, I think, taking out $5.50 for club insurance and $1.84 for GPSA, would essentially go to a student activities office of sorts at Cornell Tech, and they would get to use that money just like the GPSA FC gives that money to student organizations at the Ithaca-based campus. It's not a perfect solution by any means, but we felt it was the best that we could do unless we were able to set up an entirely different finance system where they set their own activity fee based on New York, you know, situations and conditions. So this is what we came to a resolution about. And here you go. Resolution 18 is essentially just a recommendation to next year's appropriations committee, which ultimately has the decision on what to do about this. So with that, Resolution 18 is introduced. Is there any discussion on Resolution 18? Todd?
Line 30 through 33, which is the first wall of text of names of people, would probably benefit from a little strategic italicization, both the parallel Resolutions 19 and 20, and also lines 64 through 67 on the same resolution.
Thank you. Are you suggesting that change?
Yes.
Awesome.
I'd also like to comment after the title, semicolon, parallel, line 60 through whatever
it was.
64 to 67. I don't know.
All right. Is there any opposition to this change? Great. Hearing none. It is so amended. Sorry. Is there, Evan, you had further discussion.
Just emphasize what Mitch said, which is that we, the GPSA, retain full authority over the setting and allocation of the activity fee. The process continues to be the same. We do it every fall. We'll be doing it this fall. We'll be doing it again in 2015. This is an arrangement that reflects the outcome of this discussion, but it's not forevermore. And it's worth one final point, which is we're talking right now about a dozen or so students at New York City Tech. That number will go up, of course, when this arrangement might not make sense when there are 250 students at NYC Tech, but that's not the situation that we're in right now. It also is worth noting that that there's a provision in here to try and make sure that we're not separating out two different groups of students. If you should happen to be in New York City Tech and there's a funded event down there, you would get in for the same rate as a New York City Tech student. And likewise, if they happen to be up here, they would get in for the same rate as we would. The idea is that it's not likely to happen a whole lot of time. You know, you're not going to hop on the bus from New York City for 4 hours to see Kid Cutie in Barton Hall and save two bucks. But should it be a problem, we have said we want to make sure that this is tracked in the system. We can tell who is booking tickets, and if it does end up being a problem, we can then change that arrangement. We imagine that it's more at stake for the principal rather than saying hundreds of students are going to be getting a dollar off their admission. I hope you support resolution.
I have a point of clarification.
Yeah, Bill.
So we talked about only byline-funded organizations that they will fund are GPSA, club insurance. 35-40% of the activity fee goes to GPSA. So they're not going to get that going to the finance commission either. So it's just going to be for those two things.
Correct. Because the finance commission essentially gives it back out to different student organizations, kind of with the assumption that if the city and regional planning student organization puts on a contributes to a mixer or puts on an event where we bring a speaker, it's technically open to the entire community, given that it comes from that activity fee. And so kind of the case similar to Cornell Concert or Cornell Programming Board, whatever we give it to. Yeah, thank you. That, you know, they wouldn't have that same ability to attend the CRP speaker that the rest of the Ithaca-based students would.
And as of now, there's not a student organization in New York City, so we also then mandate that they form one, and then, right now we have money going to an account that doesn't exist for a group that doesn't exist.
Well, this resolution doesn't direct that to happen. This is a recommendation to the Appropriations Committee for next year.
This is now this isn't binding towards next year's final funding cycle. It's just a recommendation of this current GPSA body, what they think should happen next year.
Correct.
Is that all good?
Yeah.
I would say this resolution reflects the understanding that the administration has with us. So we can change that understanding. We have that freedom. We set and allocate the activity fee, not Mark Newton, not Susan Murphy. But we would then have to go and say, we changed our minds. What they said last year is different than what we feel now. But it's not the same thing as binding. It's not binding in that way.
Yeah.
But it represents a sort of memorandum of understanding. If I can say one other point of clarification, this doesn't reflect the current arrangement this semester. So the students there, it's kind of complicated. The students there are not, they're having the fee paid for them, and it's going in the same way as every other graduate student. So they're not currently paying money into an account for an organization that doesn't exist yet. That organization would be formed, and it would be funded starting the cycle when our next one starts. So that's fiscal year 15. I think that's right.
Right. I think so, yeah. Did you have more, Bill?
Well, okay, fiscal 15, that's in 2 years. So why are we putting this language in now? Why don't we just wait and let these programs be established before we start delegating how money should be spent, and we don't even know what we're dealing with yet?
Nicole?
Well, just to respond to that, I mean, what sort of the issue that got raised as it came up was that, as Evan indicated, the students that are currently at Cornell Tech are having their student activity fee was paid for by the graduate school. When the graduate school realized that it didn't make sense for them to be paid for a fee that they couldn't use any of the benefit for. And so it did become clear that we needed to find at least a solution in the short term, and that does reflect what's going to happen next year. So it became an issue actually starting this semester when the students started. And now it's not okay, given how we've, guess essentially the rules regarding which graduate students are charged the activity fee. They had no option of not being charged it, according to, I don't know what
the guidelines.
The guidelines.
1999 guidelines in our charts.
Right.
Every student pays the fee, nobody can opt out.
Right. Which meant that they had to be charged the fee, but it was the graduate school that stepped up to the plate to pay for it in the absence of the lack of services that they could utilize. So it did need a solution in the short term, and it still will need a solution starting next year.
Liz?
I think overall I appreciate the work that went into this resolution, and I understand that it's really in line with the thinking of one of one of more inclusive bodies with the work we've tried to, even though the communication technology did not help us, of wanting to remotely incorporate the Geneva campus and the New York campus. So I think in that line, sort of setting this out and voting on it now, considering how lively next year will probably be with setting the budget and everything. But this makes a lot of sense, and I applaud the people who put effort into and frame the resolution.
And I might just say, as an update on Resolution 12, which was to essentially give representation through field rep type status to a representative from Cornell Tech in Geneva, that has not yet been approved by President Skorton, which is why we haven't gone forward with any other meetings with Fancy Technology to get them Skyped in. So I'm still waiting on that. Some of that is because it hinged on the discussion that's presented here, but I haven't heard anything more. So we're still not sure about that.
So what's the next step?
Yeah.
Is it going to be amending byline rules for next year for the next cycle, or we approve the rules to reflect these changes, or reflect some version of these changes, or to try to figure out? I mean,
I don't think the byline rules need to be amended to reflect these changes.
Well, they have to, because the byline rules talk about how the money is going to be spent and distributed, and now we have two campuses that the money is being spent up there. I mean, you can't just wave your hand and say, now it's just going to work like this. So we're going to have to go through and amend the bylines.
You mean amend the allocation that we did in the fall of 2011?
Yeah, no. So we'll save this one, but for the next cycle, this isn't going to affect the 2015 fiscal year.
We're going to have
to then amend those bylines funding criteria and guidelines to reflect these changes. So I'm just wondering if that's the next step here.
I guess I don't know how they need to be amended. What I can envision is when the UPSA next fall of 2013 passes a resolution setting and allocating the activity fee, it would incorporate this principle. I could be wrong, but I can't think of a spot in either the criteria document or in the procedures document that needs to be amended.
Is there any further discussion on Resolution 18?
I'd like to say that next time something affecting the activity fee goes forward, that the Appropriation Committee should have some kind of further knowledge of that before 3 days before the meeting. It's really upsetting and disrespectful to our committee.
Okay. Any further discussion on Resolution 18? Evan?
I noticed two things. One is end of number one, the semicolon should be a period, and there are two number threes.
All right.
Number three should be four should be five, and five should be six.
Any opposition to that change? Great, thanks. Great, is there any further discussion on Resolution 18? Great. Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those with green placards, please raise them in favor of Resolution 18. Great. All those opposed? All right, great. Thank you. The Resolution 18 passes 10 to 1. If people didn't vote, then that's just automatically considered an abstention, yeah. Moving on to Resolution 19, which is a resolution regarding the Student Health Insurance Optional Dental Plan. I'll turn it over to Nicole and Paul.
Could you pull up that question?
Yeah, sure. Hey, Evan, could you adjust it? Oh, never mind. Great, thanks. Yeah, I'll adjust it. Don't worry. There you go.
Hi, my name is Paul Berry. I'm a graduate student in both sociologists, so I don't have any passion. But I worked with Nicole to make this resolution. I'm concerned with the dental coverage offered here to graduate students. So I did some research, and the results of which are up on the spreadsheet. Near the top corner, if you haven't had a chance to review it yet, the comparison of all the Ivy League schools. Two things that stand out with Cornell is that our premiums are our middle of the road, looks pretty good there. However, the maximum benefit that one can receive from the dental insurance plan is the lowest of those we have information for. And also it's the only one where there is no coverage for any major dental expenses, such as wisdom tooth extraction, the use following accidents, you know, some kind of major expenses, that nature. I also have some comparisons to the Cornell staff plans and the endowed and the contract staff plans. There wasn't much information on the contract plan, but one notable feature is on the endowed plan B, there's a lower premium, also a higher maximum benefit, and some coverage for major expenses, so it's kind of dollar for dollar a better superior plan than one we have. And I won't go through everything exhaustively. I can answer the questions afterwards. But down below are just some costs from a website, fairhealthconsumer.org, that is sanctioned by the American Dental Association. It's a great resource for transparency, just giving the cost, the uninsured cost of some common expenses. And then I use these on the next sheet, if we can move over to the scenario tab, to estimate the cost that you would pay for a series of scenarios in a given year if you had the insurance versus if you didn't have the insurance. So for first scenario, if you had only a cleaning, the costs were essentially the same. If you had one filling in a given year, you would save about $56 in the insurance valuation between x-ray fillings. If you needed two fillings, you would save $136, but the out-of-pocket costs are starting to get a lot higher. But then, you know, more to the point of scenario four, if you start needing any major work, the cost of major dental care can only up really quickly. So if you needed, for instance, two fillings and two root canals in a given year, with or without the insurance, the out-of-pocket expenses are well over $2,000, and you could easily come up with more in extreme scenarios there. So basically, the two main points we want to bring out in the resolution were to have more study on the needs of the graduate body, more information about people's experiences with the plan and how they're dealing with expenses if people are having problems, and also advocate for a better plan with more coverage for major expenses and a higher maximum benefit.
Do you have anything to add, Nicole? Okay, great. Resolution 19 is open for discussion. Todd?
On line 26, I move that we change the word and to a.
So line 26?
Yes. Call for and dental insurance option. I prefer it.
Hey.
Dental insurance option.
Any opposition to that? Fantastic. Proper English. You have anything else, Todd? Okay. Evan? You had your hand raised. Yeah.
Do you have a sense for what percentage of Cornell graduate students right now are purchasing download services?
I don't have any information.
I don't know that there is any information. I certainly don't have any way. I would be, as this moves forward, I want to say this is a good resolution. I think it's timely. I think it's important. When we did our spring 2011 survey, we had a free-form text box and said, what are some things that are important to you? A lot of people said benefits. A lot of people specifically mentioned eye care and dental care, which are the two supplementary benefit packages. I hope GPSA continues to work on the support issue next year.
Okay, Bernadette?
Yeah, I had a question, actually. I know that with some major medical plans, including the one at my master's institution, serious dental procedures like wisdom tooth extraction would be covered by major medical regardless of whether you actually have dental insurance whether or not. Do you have any idea how that works with Cornell insurance? Does it cover certain serious procedures? No.
Please, did you have? Yeah.
And to piggyback on that, I don't think that it stands to significant others. But in any case, I really appreciate you bringing this resolution forward. One of my questions is, as I have learned from working on the university assembly, you need the need to sort of direct action in any resolution. So, for example, we call for a more systematic study. Who are we asking to conduct that study would be one concern from me. We advocate for dental insurance option. I think that we have a lot of actors who are cited in the last resolution clause, and it doesn't really put the responsibility on any one of those individuals or any particular body to follow through with this resolution. So that would just be my, I don't know who, maybe Gannett, maybe some other body on campus, but I think we need to specifically target some entity and say, we're asking you to do this study, and we're asking you to look at more dental insurance options.
Great, Drew?
Yeah. Can you just change anything
from
the woman that uses dental insurance as far as opting out of it? So, because dental insurance is optional, it's not the entire partnership, so if you opt out of shift, then this is the opting out of it.
No, you can purchase it.
You have to opt in.
I think though your question though is if this became a part of SHIP, would you then have to provide documentation for having dental insurance? And I don't know if you know the answer to that. Okay. We can find that out when we transmit the resolution. Yeah. Nicole?
I just had a quick response to Liz's comment. It's actually not clear to me, having done a little bit of research, who it would be directed to, be honest. My first guess would have been some partnership between Craig McAllister, who's essentially the head insurance person for Cornell, and also Janet Corson-Ricker. But that's, again, just a guess. There is a advisory board or advisory body on student health insurance, which, to my knowledge, we don't have any graduate student representation on. So I think that's something that should be considered in the future for sure.
And I think historically the student advocacy committee has talked about benefits, and indeed Paul is a member of the student advocacy committee, and has talked about this in the meetings, I think. So that's another good place for continued action. David and Evan?
Paul, I have a question for Randy's suggestion. All this is really good the way it is. Have you guys thought about including like an educational aspect for Gannett to have? Like, Gannett does a lot with other aspects of student health, but like, you know, most grad students probably don't know whether you should floss first or brush first, for example. And I think it'd be really great if Gannett also was like, well, maybe next year we should have some kind of educational program in addition to what you have in your classroom.
That's a great idea.
I don't know. You might not be able to change it now, but.
We can. That's what we're here to discuss.
I don't know if you would add anything to that.
They Janet Corson Rickard is the director of Gannett. Executive director of Gannett.
Can you add a result that Gannett include some kind of education on dentistry or dental services to the programming?
Do you have an idea how you'd want to word that? Resolve that Gannett should better inform graduate and professional students about dental health and dental health options. Should provide information to graduate students? Better information? I don't know if they...
Yeah, I don't
Dental health and
dental health research
insurance coverage?
For available dental health research in the area.
Okay. Does this... David, you're the one proposing this, so... Does this meet what you're looking to propose? Thank you.
Dental health and maybe hand resources, like dental health and the resources available. This just makes it sound like we can give it a list of
sentences. And then can you delete the and above for adding another?
Wait, where?
527.
Okay, here. That's
and then technically we make that 74. Okay.
Thank you. David, does this get at what you were looking for? Great. Is there a second? Christine? Thanks. Any discussion on this amendment? Great.
Question.
Oh, yeah.
You mean that they should, like, I mean, because this is still taken as provide professional students, like, with a question about mental health in terms of, like, give you the pamphlet that they already have about, like, the health service that you can subscribe to for a fee through Cornell, right? But do you mean more like home care?
I mean, yeah, more like
hygiene.
Right.
Yeah. Like
basic
dental
care information.
Right.
Hygiene.
Yeah.
Dental hygiene.
I think that's covered under there. Yeah. Any further discussion on this amendment? Great. Is there any opposition to this amendment? Great. Seeing none, the resolution is so amended. Any further discussion on Resolution 19? Yeah, Liz. Yeah.
I wanted to add a golf song.
Okay.
Probably right before the name dump.
Okay.
Resolve that the Cornell University office student health insurance.
Wait, hold on.
Sorry.
The Cornell Ship office?
Yeah, the Cornell University office of student health insurance.
Okay.
Report back to the GPSA on the progress of the items in this resolution during the 2013 to 2014 school year.
How about academic year? Does this capture what you're looking for?
That's
great. Is there a second?
Second.
Awesome. Any discussion on this amendment?
Strongly support this amendment. I think this has been long overdue. We need to have someone come here to say why it's as bad as it is, full and harmful. So if it's SHIP or whoever, I mean, they need to justify to us the level of insurance that we currently have.
Yeah. Any further discussion on this amendment? Evan? Okay, okay. Any opposition to this amendment? Great. Seeing none, it's so amended. Further discussion on Resolution 19? We're a little over time on this resolution, if there are no more major comments.
I just wanted, Nicole, did you say the Student Insurance Advisory Committee?
I think so. Okay.
I wanted to throw in a point for those of you involved next year that, to my knowledge, the Student Insurance Advisory Committee has basically been defunct for 5 years. To my knowledge, there isn't any serious student impact or input in health insurance at all anywhere. We may have a committee listed on the website, but I don't think anyone's on it, and I don't think they actually meet. So that could be good to look into. I agree exactly with what Phil said. I mean, we're not involved in the process, and we're the ones using the insurance.
Any further discussion on Resolution 19? Great. Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those green placards in favor of Resolution 19, please raise them now. Great. All those opposed? Great. With a vote 11 to 1, Resolution 19 passes. Thank you. Now moving on to Resolution 20. This is one that essentially that I largely read that essentially combines the sections in the GPCI that relate to housing, transportation, and family services and combines them to talk specifically about the on-campus housing. I chose in here to focus primarily on Hasbrook and Maplewood, even though there is Hughes Hall and Thurston Ave as well, but Hughes Hall is closing in the next couple years. Yeah, as is Maplewood. So essentially the resolved clauses in this resolution really just are pulled out of the GPCI, and it's meant to really stimulate a conversation here before the end of the year about some of these to move them forward, particularly about just how Hasbrook can better serve the communities that it serves well. There are definitely some transportation and parking changes that need to be made to make it a little bit more fair to graduate students that we indicated in the GPCI, and that the university really needs to take seriously the fact that they're removing, you know, by the closing of Maplewood and with no replacement plan, they're removing 400 spots for graduate and professional students to live on campus. And that's a significant change. That takes us from 12% of graduate and professional students housed to 5%, which is, or 95% that live off campus, however you want to see it. And so it kind of combines some of the major points in housing, transportation, and family services. So with that, we'll open Resolution 20 to discussion. Any discussion? Todd? Oh, great.
Some small changes that I'd like to wrap in one proposed amendment.
Please.
First on line 19, proposing adding a comma after the current board process.
This one here?
Yes.
Okay.
On line 20, I also propose adding a comma after the word Maplewood.
Okay.
Okay, a little bit further down the page, on line 31,
okay.
I propose changing the V between the word address and three to a V's, namely the issues of housing, transportation, and family services.
Okay.
And then on the next page, lines 54 and 55, if the current text reads, think comprehensively about providing solutions, I move that this be read as think about providing a comprehensive solution. If other people would like to make amendments that change think into a stronger verb, they, you know, are welcome to do so, but as far as making sense, this is my amendment.
Think about providing a comprehensive solution. Great. Any opposition to that amendment in total? Great. Seeing none, it's so amended. Thank you, Todd. this makes our resolutions good, and it makes them lasting. So, thank you. Any further discussion on Resolution 20? None whatsoever.
Great job, Mitch.
Thanks, Evan. Can always count on you for that. Great. We'll go ahead and move to a vote then. All those in favor of Resolution 20, please raise your green placards now. Great. All those opposed? Great. Resolution 20 passes 12-0. Thank you. All right. Now to move on to election of the 2013-2014 Executive Committee, Committee Chairs, and University Assembly Reps. For a quick moment, we are electing these 12 positions to include two University Assembly representatives. Just real quick, is there any question about the role of any of these? For the top three, as we move forward in the PowerPoint presentation, there's a description of the role of President, EVP, and VPO. And that should say Council, not Council. yeah, thanks. Sorry, this is not a council of people. This is one council. My apologies. I think I got it right on the later slide. Anyways, just real quick, is there any question about any of these? Given that we have our current committee chairs, for the most part, are here, is there any question for them about any of these roles before we move forward to the elections? All right, sounds good. Let's move forward then. This is the role of president. It's a lot of different things. Are there nominations for president? Evan?
Nominate
Monet
Dumas for president.
Okay, Monet, do you accept?
I accept.
Fantastic. Are there further nominations for president? Great, seeing none, we will vote by applause. Congratulations, Monet. The meeting is yours.
You good to share the rest of the meeting?
I'll stay here, though.
Okay, next we'll take nominations for Executive Vice President. Nicole?
I'd like to nominate Liz Newberry.
Are there any other nominations? Okay, seeing none, we will move for a vote. You can say, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Congratulations. Okay, next we have Vice President of Operations nominations. Evan?
I nominate Christine Young, Humanities Voting Member.
Do you accept, Christine?
I do.
Okay, all in favor? I'm sorry, are there any other nominations? If not, then we will move for a vote. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Congratulations. Okay, Council.
Are we going to choose Evan and Nicole's
wonderful? I'm moving away.
Mitch?
I would like to nominate Nicole.
Nicole, do you accept?
I accept.
Okay, are there any other nominations?
The only other person, you know, there are only 83 people.
Evan and I recuse ourselves.
I'm graduating. I can't be it.
It's inevitable. Okay. Seeing none, we'll move for a vote. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Okay, congratulations. Okay, nominations for Appropriations Committee Chair. Don't be shy.
So if I can point of parliamentary procedure, if there is a spot that is not filled, then I believe for committee chairs we elect them at the next meeting, which obviously is the first meeting in the fall semester. So there is time for all of these positions to get discussed and for someone else to be identified. So
I will chip in on appropriations specifically. This is
this is an important process where the gears do start turning over the summer a little bit. I would encourage somebody, anybody, to at least be an interim appropriations chair over the summer so that there is someone to respond to email.
Well, I was currently the appropriations chair. I graduated in December, but I started the process of contacting people and I'm going to serve on the committee next year. So, if that needs to be me until we can find someone.
I nominate Bill to be the appropriations committee chair.
Do you accept?
I accept.
With any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? Seeing none, we'll move for a vote. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Congratulations. Okay, Communications Committee Chair. Mitch?
Yes. So I nominate Dana Westgren, who is a new voting member. She is in SEPA and was not able to make it tonight. She works down at Alumni Affairs and Development. Couldn't make it. She does accept the nomination.
Okay. Are there any other nominations? Okay, we'll move for a vote. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Congratulations.
I will.
Okay, Finance Commission Chair.
Okay, I'd like to nominate two people as co-chairs for next year. One will be graduating in December, so the second person will take on over as chair. So I'd like to nominate Dan Fulman, sitting back there, and Parag Mahanti as co-chairs for the Finance Commission next year.
Do you accept? Are there any other nominations? Okay, if not, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Congratulations. Okay, Graduate and Professional Student Programming Board Chair.
I nominate Anthony.
Do you accept any other nominations? Okay, if not, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Congratulations. Student Advocacy Committee. Evgeny?
I'd like to nominate Brandon Dorfman.
Any other nominations? Okay, if not, we'll go to a vote. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Congratulations. Okay, Faculty Award Committee Chair.
I'm Evan? I nominate David Powell.
Do you accept? Are there any other nominations? Okay, if not, we'll move for a vote. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Okay, congratulations.
Oh.
Okay, University Assembly Representatives. So there are two here. Okay.
I'd like to nominate Alex Moore, who is not here, but I have a statement for him.
Okay.
He's
bad. Okay. Take your word for it. Are there any other nominations?
If Liz may speak about it more than I can, but I did this for 2 years. The University Assembly meets on average twice a month on Tuesdays at 4:30. They're not superior to the GPSA, but they sort of exist on top, broader. So it's a chance to deal with more broad campus issues. We reorganized the committee structure so the committees are more focused. Campus Welfare Committee, Campus Infrastructure, and Coastal Judicial Committee. It's a neat opportunity to get involved in cross-campus governance. And it's not a huge time commitment, so if you want to nominate yourself, that's a fun opportunity.
I would piggyback on that, saying it's a very rewarding experience, and it's also extremely important that we have graduate students there. Mitch and I have, on countless occasions, had to raise our hand and be like, so where are the graduate students in these university-wide legislations that we are discussing? It's very important that we have a seat at the table.
Do you accept?
Yep.
Okay, are there any other nominations? If not, we'll move for a vote. All in favor of these two, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Congratulations.
Well, no, I don't have it online.
Okay, so it's not here, but we also have the Diversity International Students Committee. So we'll take nominations for that.
I nominate Shavit Carter.
Okay, great. Are there any other nominations? If not, we'll move for a vote. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Congratulations.
Sorry, Chavez.
Okay, again, congratulations to everyone. Look forward to working with you. Next, we'll go into open forum. Is there anyone that would like to speak?
Thanks to everybody for a really, really wonderful year. This was incredibly productive. I know I was just a council, I wasn't a voting member or anything, but I really enjoyed working with each and every single one of you. The GPCI is an amazing accomplishment. I'm real sorry. I'm not gonna be here next June. I'm moving away in June. This is probably my last GPSA meeting after 4 years. I know you'll be great next year. Keep up the good work. Congratulations, Renee.
I'd also like to thank the current executive board, Mitch, Nicole, and Eric. Thank you for all of your hard work this year, and thank you. I know that you really poured so much of yourself into the GPSA. So thank you.
Are there any other comments?
I wish you could go to the Big Red Barn.
I met with Janice yesterday, and we talked about having a meeting maybe in 15 days to have like a transition from like to learn the good things of GPSA this year, the things that we think should improve, and also like based on like the current chair to say something to the other chair, like a new chair. And maybe share our experiences between the groups that I think we have common problems and how we should solve them and work together. So I don't know if you're interested in having a meeting, maybe 15 days or something, like a smaller, more informal meeting, but where we can brainstorm things and just help each other.
Yeah, and I think that could be a great idea. We can touch base on that after the meeting. Are there any other comments? If not, sorry.
Well, I'll just, from my point of view as the Dean of Students and your advisors, it's been a great year. Thanks for all the great.
If there are no other comments, again, I second that. Mitch and Nicole, thank you for all your dedication. We really appreciate it. All right, meeting adjourned. Okay, yeah. And I just have like a download that like, all the language and everything.
Yeah, just fix it.
Yeah. This is going to be weird.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, I was really sad that I missed it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Nice to meet you as well.
So, you're a lame duck now.
So we'll have to. I'm going to include you now in like every meeting I have.
Okay,
yeah,
and one
sure.
of them will be
I'll
with him.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
Good.
Do you plan to go to Slip Day?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
$20.
Okay. Well, we'll find a different day then.
Oh.
We had a meeting planned for Slip Day.
Okay.
So.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.